Okay, everybody. So today's daf is daf tzaddik tes. We're holding the final line on tzaddik ches amid beis, where the Gemara says lema misayel. Let's bring a raya. Who will bring a raya to? We'll bring a raya to Rav Asi. What did Rav Asi say? If you'll notice, Rav Asi right after the Mishnah, Omer Rav Asi lishonu elishanosel lechorosh shidatevu migdal. The knights ben masmer. The Mishnah had said that if you gave, for instance, a shidatevu migdal to ein uman litakein, to go and fix something was broken, he came in to fix the kilkel. Instead of fixing it, he made it even more broken. So what's the din? Says the Mishnah Chayv L'Shalom, he has to go and pay. So Rav Asi said about that, that's only if you gave him the ready-made choresh, sorry, you gave to the choresh, the carpenter, the sheet of table migdal, the knight's been masmer, please, knock in a nail. And the knight's been masmer v'shibran, and he did a good job in knocking in the nail, so such a good job that he made a huge hole in the sheet of table of migdal and it broke. Says the Mishnah, Chai v'shalom, he has to pay for the breakage of this sheet of table of migdal. But if he gave to the Choresh Eitzim Lasa sheet of table of migdal, in other words, we're starting off with the raw materials. We go to the carpenter, here are some boards, please go and fashion this into a sheet of table of migdal. And the awesome in Shita Teva Migdal, Bishibran, he did a great job, but unfortunately that last knock on the nail, the whole Shita Teva Migdal broke, potur. He's potter from paying for the Shita Teva. Of course he has to pay for the Eitzim, but he doesn't have to pay for the Shita Teva Migdal. My timer, Umin Koina Bishvach Kli. And Uman, the Uman being the carpenter, he's Koina, he gets a Kinyan in the Shvach Kli. Now what does that mean? We're going to see in the Gemara that this has a number of halachic ramifications. But bottom line is, when you hand over some raw materials and you give to the Uman to go and make it into a finished product, don't just think upon him as being a sochir, as a hired hand, or even a kablan, someone who is taking over this job to accomplish something. You consider him, according to Rav Asi, to be a co-partner now in this item. So initially, when you gave him the raw goods, the Eitzim, you were the only partner, you were the only owner. However, now that he's fashioned these Eitzim into a box, into a closet, into a migdal, whatever he made out of it, now both of you, the original owner of the Eitzim, and the Kablon, the Uman, are now Shutfim, you are now partners in this creation of this new box. So what difference does that make? So Rav Asi already said one difference yesterday. And that is that if and when the box breaks by the final bang with the hammer, he doesn't have to pay for the box because you can look upon as if the box belonged to him. Until the original Eitzim owner came to him, there was no box. He is the one that broke, he manufactured the box. When he manufactured and he created it, he did such a good job, he thought out of the box, but ultimately he ruined it. So he ruined his own box. He doesn't have to pay for the damage to the box. He only has to go and give back the Demei Eitzim to the original owner, because he's a co-partner. Says Yomar Lema V'Zayle. Let's try to bring a riot to this. From a parallel type of situation. I know it's in Tzemer L'Tzava. Person gives raw wool to the dyer. V'Kticha Yoyra. And unfortunately, he did too much of a good job, and the tzemer got burned inside the yora, inside the large pot, which he was using to go and dye the tzemer. So what does he have to do? No yisaleid meitzamrei. He, the dyer, has to now make amends, and he has to go and pay him the value of the original tzemer. Saying more is medayik. Tzimrei in. Demei tzimrei shvachai loy. I should have said, Demei Tzimrei in, Demei Tzimrei Shvachai Lai. He only has to pay him the value of the original Tzemer. Why didn't he have to go and pay him the value of the Tzemer and the Shvach? Aren't we talking about Lav Shedichai Li'achar Nefila, De'ika Shvacha? Aren't we talking about a situation, how and when did it get burned? After the Tzemer had already absorbed all of the dye, presumably there was very little dye left in the bottom of the barrel, the bottom of the pot, the vat, what have you, and as a result, and the Uman left the scene somewhat prematurely, he comes back, there was no dye left, no liquid left in the vat, and now it started burning. So by that point, the Tzemer was no longer the raw Tzemer, now it was a red dyed Tzemer, a black dyed Tzemer. and so therefore it's worth much more. So why don't we go and say that the Uman has to go and pay the damages, not only the amount of the original value, the original Tzemer, but also the Tzemer plus how much it's worth now after it's been Mashbiach, after it's now a dyed wool instead of the original. Shema minol, you have a good teraya, that Uman kind of mishvach kli. And so therefore, the shvach and the kli, meaning the fact that this tzemer is now red or black, that all accrues to the partnership that the Uman has in this tzemer together with the owner of the tzemer. And now that he damaged it, all he has to go and give his partner back is the ruined tzemer. But he doesn't have to pay him for the ruined red tzemer, because that it's red or black, that's what he created. He did it himself.
Did the customer, the owner of the original roll of wool, pay for the dyeing already or not?
No, he hasn't paid anything yet.
Okay, so he, all right.
Zok Diyamara, Ushma Mino, I see from this, Uman Koin B'Shach Kli, and that's why he only has to pay him for the Dmei Tzemer, and they're not the Dmei Tzemer Ushmochoi. Omishvul, you have no right. Achmeis Kivin Goshudichoi, B'Shas Nefila, the Lekishvacha. Maybe the burning took place at the outset and not at the end of the process. In other words, maybe there was so little dye in the vat when he threw the tzemer in that it burned immediately, even before it became dyed. Ah, and then the Uman smelled something, he runs in, oy, 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 everything is burning. And he takes out the tzemer. The tzemer has not become red or black yet. Maybe it's in the initial stages of becoming red or black, but certainly we're not at the final product yet, the finished product. And that's why he has to go and pay only the Demet Semer and nothing more. But it's konzayin says Shmuel that in fact if it got burned after the nefila, in other words, after it already turned the color black or red, is my, what would be the din? Maybe taka noisanoi they made samre vishvach. Maybe the Mishnah, the Brisa would say you have to pay him not only the Demet Semer, but also the shvach. And therefore, Shmuel says we have no raya from this Brisa or the Mishnah that we're quoting. So tomorrow.
Did he give a red dye semer to be dyed black, or he gave white semer to be dyed in a certain color? What happened here? It's not clear to me.
No, you're 100% right. Then I should have made it clear. We're talking about that it was raw wool. Raw wool, typically, you first clean it out from all its impurities, and at that point, it's more or less white or off-white. And then we're putting it into the vat to turn it black or red or another color, whatever the customer wanted.
But he didn't pay for the dye. The dye belongs to the dyer.
That's
why should he? Why
yes.
Should he pay? What is the harm? I mean, that he should be the dyer should be responsible to pay for his own color that burned the
wool. Okay, very good, very good.
He didn't pay because the customer didn't pay anything.
Yes,
he didn't pay upfront.
That was part of your question.
Exactly.
It's worth more. It'd be worth.
But doesn't matter. It doesn't. The value added is from the.
No, there's more. In other words, he's doing more. In other words, the value is worth more than the market than what he paid. What he's in other words, you make a sheet of table, amido tova, also table. Then you're making an object, and he's saying this is. But if he'd have to buy it retail, it would be much more, I think.
So, Brother Shai wants to go and discuss rather instead of the dyed wool, the case of the Eitzim. So the person brought in boards, for instance, to the carpenter. He says, "Yeah, I give you 4 or 8 boards, whatever. Do me a favor, go and make for me a very nice large box. I want to fill it with shlachmunis and give it to my mechitten for a present to the kovid pirim." Sure, wonderful. How much is that going to cost? The boards themselves were $10 altogether. The lumber was very cheap, $10. The Uman charges $25 for making this nice, pretty, beautiful box. Okay, $25, so no problem. That they made up that deal. What happens if and when he makes a beautiful box out of it, that box is already worth $50. Because after all, it's so nice and it's engraved and it says on it, they in fact gave it to Brother Barry to engrave, L'Kovid Purim, Tufshin Pei Dalid, and you remember this forever and all the sweets, and it should be a sweet year, and etc., etc. So such a box is now worth $50. So typically what would have happened, he would have come to the Uman and say, Uman, oh, it's so great, it's so beautiful, how much do I owe you? Like we said, $25, here's $25. And then he would take the box home with him. Unfortunately, Uman did too good of a job, and he banged it too many times on the right and the left and the top and the bottom, and he says, I'm so sorry, I broke the box, you can't use it, what do I do? So one could have thought that since this box is now worth, normally in the market, $50, he should have to go and pay him for breaking a $50 box. Because you took this box, take a picture of it, look on Amazon or look on whatever, and you'll see this retails for $49.99 with or without shipping charges. So it's a $50 box. See, he broke the box. Maybe you should pay $50. So see, well, no. All he has to do is give him back his original $10, the value of the original boards. Why is that? After all, he did a great job. He put together a beautiful box. And I won't pay him because obviously it's broken, so I'm not going to pay him the 25. But he, on the other hand, the Uman should have to go and pay him a $50 broken box because it's like a beautiful thing. What happens if you would have broken the box? Not broken the box. What happens if you would have given him a finished product of the box and told him just add one more nail on the top or on the bottom? And he gave a zetz on that nail and the thing broke. He'd have to pay for a $50 box. So why doesn't he have to pay now for a $50 box? Says him, well, I'll tell you why. Because according to Rav Asi, this box now belongs to two shutfim. Who are the two shutfim? The original owner of the $10, he owns $10 of the $50. The other $40 really belong to the Uman. Why does it belong to the Uman? Because the Uman becomes a shutf in this kli. Like the Gemara calls it, Uman koine b'shvach kli. Since he is a co-shutf, he goes and tells the other guy, not that I damaged your boards, that you can't use the boards anymore, I'm paying you $10. Not that I damaged the closet, or the box. I damaged my own box. The $40 was a work, the creation, my creativity, my talent that I placed in this box. That is taka broken, so I have to pay myself. I'll take it from the right pocket and put it into the left pocket.
So if they're shutfim, why isn't he at least paying 50% of the loss and 30%?
Did you ever hear of shutfis of 10% and 50% or 80% and 20%?
It's not 50-50.
It's not 50-50. In this case, in my example, it's 20 and 80. Exactly. Okay, Robbie, does that help?
Even without shutfis.
Yes.
Kozman, that he didn't pay for the work of the Uman.
Mm-hmm.
Why he doesn't owe the Uman anything? He didn't pay for the dye. He didn't pay for the labor.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a shutef. Why should he pay? What is the argument that the Balboz should pay the Uman for his own dye, his own
time and labor?
Kozman, he didn't receive the
product. Rabbi, there is no havamina whatsoever that the Balabas has to pay anything. The only reason why we're talking about the Balabas paying, that was initially when he gave him the Eitzim, or he gave him the Tzemer, and they made up a contract. He gave him a receipt, and the receipt said that, Mir Tashem, when I'm finished, I'll call you, you'll pick it up, it's going to cost you $25. Because the Uman ruined it, he doesn't owe a penny. If the Balabas is totally off. But the Balabas says to him, but what am I going to do now? I wanted to have this beautiful sweater, and you took my beautiful tzemer, and you ruined it. So the question is, how much does he have to pay? Does he have to pay for the value of the original tzemer? Says, well, yeah, that's what you have to pay. Why? The tzemer originally was just wool, which was worth $10. But after you made it so red and so black and so nice, it's worth now $50. Give me $50 for ruining my beautiful sweater. And the answer is, the extra $40 is I contributed to that. I, the dyer, made it worth $50. Therefore, on the $40, I'll have to pay myself for ruining it. On the original tzemer, I'm going to pay you the $10 for ruining your tzemer. So that's as far behind Rav Asi. And the Gemara is going to go and use this now also for other dinim, as we'll see. Anyway, we see from Shmuel, Shmuel said we have no raya, right? Shmuel said we're not talking about a situation where it was already a finished product, and therefore, why doesn't he pay for the finished product that he broke or that he ruined? It's talking about that it wasn't finished product. It was toich, in the middle of the process. What was the lashon of Shmuel? Kengeshidich bishas nefila, but not la'achar nefila. So it wasn't yet fully red or fully black or whatever. It was still in its infancy tzemer stage. So he wants to pay for the tzemer and nothing more. So Timur, the fact that Shmuel did not like bringing a raya from that Mishnah to Reb Asi, say Tzchos to Mishmuel, less than Reb Asi. Tzchos, he argues with Reb Asi. Omelech Shmuel, no, I don't necessarily argue. Hachemai iskim ki going to Tzemre v'samon and the Bal Habayis. V'tzaba agar yodei hu deshakel. Says Shmuel, no, I can tell you that we're talking about a situation where the balabas who came to the uman, to the tzaba, not only did he bring along the tzemer, he even brought along the dye. He brought all of the raw materials. Here you have the tzemer, you have the wool, here you have the dye, here you have the vat, I give you the fire, all I want you, dyer, is to go and put it all together. In other words, to go and give me your labor. You don't have to give me any goods on your part, just your labor. The balabais. The tzaba agayodah hu deshakel. All the tzaba is receiving is a agayodah. That means his time for putting it all together, his labor time. But he didn't contribute anything in terms of the goods. And therefore, says Shmuel, that's the reason why the Mishnah that we're quoting says he only has to go and pay him for the original item, that is the tzemer. He doesn't have to go and pay him for the finished product, because the finished product was not as a result of I give the wool and you give the dye and the vat and the hot water and the fire. He, the original balabas, he supplied all of the goods, all the materials, and all he had to go was supply with his labor. Says Shmuel, in such a case, you don't say umen koine b'shvach kli, because he didn't contribute anything other than his labor, as opposed to contributing some sort of goods. Right, tomorrow, if that's the way Shmuel's learning pshat, he should go and say, since I ruined your sweater, I ruined your tzemer, I'm going to go and pay you not only the mei tzemer, but also the mei samonim. By the fact that it doesn't say that, it doesn't look like that's the situation. So tomorrow, Shmuel is not saying, I respectfully disagree with Ravasi. I could hold like Ravasi, that umen koine b'shvach kli. However, all I'm saying is you don't have a clear-cut raya from that Mishnah that says, anoyz etzem letzaba. Why don't they have a clear-cut raya? Because it could be talking about not li'acha nefila, it could be talking about lefnei nefila or betoich nefila, when it wasn't the finished product yet. So therefore the uman didn't become a shutif yet inside the kli, and therefore you have no raya to Ravasi. But now we're going to see other ramifications of from Ravasi's halacha. Toshima. Now this talis is not like we think of a talis that you wear in for davening. I mean, it could be, but typically this type of talis means a cloak, like a nice woolen coat that a person wears during the winter when it's cold. He gives it to the uman. And gomroi, and he finished it. Now exactly how he finished it, we're going to discuss in the Gemara shortly. But at least at this point in the Gemara, it sounds like he gave him sections of the coat, the fabric, and he said, you know, put it all together and make a coat out of it. In Gomrah, and now he finished it. Vahidiyoi, and now he sent him a letter, an email, a fax, telephone call. Vahidiyoi, he told him, it's finished, you can come and pick it up from me. I'm open from 9 to 6, come on over and pick it up. Even if the item after it's finished is sitting still there in the workshop for 10 days, einer oilva ola mishum loisalim. Now we know there's a din of bal tolin for those of you that have the Torah or hashalim, which is number one. Loisashik es reacha v'loisigzoil loisalim peula socher itcho ad boiker. If you owe money to a worker, you gotta pay him that day. Don't wait until night, or don't wait until the morning. It depends whether you're talking about Schir Yoim, Schir Laila, but you have to go and pay during that period of time. Don't let it sit overnight. You gotta go and pay the guy. So it says over here in the Gemara that even if it's there for 10 days, he's not overly selling. Why? Because he didn't pick up the item yet. However, in the Sanolai, if the customer came and he picked up the coat, Bachatzi hayoyim lemoshel at 12 o'clock midday, kimin sheshokel of chama, as soon as it's shkias of chama at night, and he didn't pay him yet, oiver la mishem bal tol, and he's already oiver on the din of loisolin. Ooh, freitimar visol kadaitach umin kainu bishvach kli. If you're going to go and tell me the umman is a co-partner in this kli together with the original owner, my oiver mishem bal tol is only shayach by a socher, by a person who's taking a wage for his labors. However, we're not talking about an employee, we're talking about partners. If partners go and make a reckoning of the partnership income at the end of the year, and now Reuven is in charge of the books, and Shimon sit down, and Reuven says, okay, based on all of this, you put in the following amount, and I put in the following amount, we made capital contributions, blah, blah, blah. Okay, at the end of the day, I owe you $1,000. I'm going to give it to you, don't worry about it, you know, I'm good for the cash. Fine. What happens if it wait 3 or 4 days? Would he be over on the dinner about Tolan? Of course not, because they're partners. They should. We're not talking about an employer employee. Well, here you're telling me that he's umin koyd bishrachlis and they have to be shudfim. So why is he oy mishum bal talin? Doesn't make sense. That's the Gemara's kasha. And in fact, Rashi says, which you should look upon this new kli as if it's not I'm returning an improved kli, but actually it's a sale. He's actually selling him this kli. Because until now, it was just fabric. It was just pieces of wool. Now that he's attached them all together, and he stitched it, and he weaved it, and he made Dagan Tzemasa, so it's as if he, the Uman, now purchased the original raw materials from the owner. He manufactured from that a coat, and now he's selling the coat back to him for the amount, of course, that they agreed to at the outset. So look upon it as a sale. Don't look upon it as a payment of schirah. If that's the case, then the din of Leis Solon doesn't even apply. Ever the Gemara, Omra Mary Barid of Kahana, Begarda de Sarbala, Teleka Shvacha. It's not like we learned initially that this Anoisin Talisa, he took and gave him fabric and he made a cloak out of it against a coat. No. He gave him a Ferdig coat, a coat which was a finished product. And he asked him, please, I want you to comb it out and to make it look fluffy and to make it look furry and you should comb it and you should go and take a brush and brush it at the top. In English, the fancy term is to teasel it. You go and teasel it by scrubbing it and by brushing it and by combing it. It's probably similar, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the modern day Streimlich, but many of them have at the top. They now all come out so nice and fancy and schmancy on the top. So that's probably also as a result of teasing or teasling them that you go and comb it so that the tops of them stick out on top. So here's what he's saying, the same type of situation, that the coat was a fair ticket coat. It was fine, no problem. But he wanted to be more fluffy and perhaps warmer or whatever. So you go and give it to the guarded Sarbala. And what does he do? He goes and brushes it and makes it come out nice and beautiful and all the rest. So the Gemara assumes at this point that what's the teretz? The lekishvacha. He has not improved the product. All he's done is combed it out and brushed it. And therefore, there is no concept of umin koine bishvach li, because there's no shvach. So the Gemara, b'soif soif l'mayah v'nilei. Why did he give it to the gardener's arba? Lirikuche, to go and soften it up and make it fluffy and all that. Kim derachke, if he did a good job and he taka softened it up. No, that is the definition of shvach for these purposes. Shvach always depends on the context. If you're giving him raw wood and he makes a closet or he makes a box, oh, that's the shvach. If he gave him the raw tzemer and he makes it red or black or whatever, that's the shvach. Here the shvach is, and he gave him a coat which was kind of just flat, and he made it look fluffy and nice and soft and gishmak and all that. So you should say on that, umin koine bishvach kli. And therefore, why does it say in this braisa that you have to go and pay immediately, otherwise you're going to be over on Baal Tolin. They happen to be partners. He's not a sochir. After more like tzricha, the agre leviche bitcha bimasa, the hainus chirus. In other words, the cases until now was always a case of kablonus. Kablonus means I pay you for the project. My project is I give you the eitzim, you're going to make a box out of it, that's the project. If you finish off the project and you do a good job, I'm going to pay you naturally. I give you the tzemer, you're going to make it red or black, whatever, that's the project. In the case of even the in this coat, if I pay you for making it fluffy and nice, how much? $20? That's the full project. That's your kablanis. In this case, however, they stipulated that it's going to be paid per bitcha. Bitcha means each time pounding it with either the comb or the feet or stepping or whatever for the physical labor. So it's almost like...
it's prorated.
Okay, you can think of it today, for instance, if you go to a lawyer, some lawyers, you tell them, I need a partnership agreement. How much is it going to cost? $2,500. Okay, fine, I pay $2,500 for a partnership. The other one says, we don't pay by project, we pay by hour. Every day, every hour, you have to pay $100. If it takes me 10 hours, it'll cost you $1,000. If it takes 25 hours, it'll cost you $2,500. So what's an afkimina? The first one is like a kablan, says, I'll get you an agreement, you don't have to worry. Whatever it takes, whether it takes a day or it takes a week, I'll get you my partnership agreement, $2,500. So then that would be koine b'shvach kli, he created an agreement. However, if he is paying per hour, then he's a sochir, he's not a kablon. He's saying, for every hour that I work on it, you're going to pay me another $100. That's called schiris. So here too, the bitcher means each time he gives it another clap, or another comb, or another kick, or whatever. So since he's getting paid by the hour, or by the bitcher, that's called schiris, it's not called kablonis, and that's the reason why you have a din of bal tov. Okay, I understand, it's not a kablon, it's a sochit. According to the original Havamina, that he did not go and hire him per pound or per combing or per brushing, but rather he paid him for the entire project of making this a nice fluffy coat again. It's a right of Sheshes. What's Rav Sheshes? The boy minim Rav Sheshes. Kablonis. Rav Sheshes wanted to know whether the din of Baal Tolan only is talking about a sachir that gets paid per day, per hour, per week, whatever, like an employee, yeah, he puts in 8 hours, gets paid for the day, or whatever. Or kablonis is, since I'm not paying per hour, I'm just paying for the project, you're going to go and finish this project. Oh, so maybe then there's no din of Baal Tolan. Only Baal Tolan is going to be a sachir. The lotion of the pasuk is, le'solin pu'ulas sachir itcho ad boiker. A sachir means an employee. It could be a very talented and creative employee. It could be a carpenter. He could be a blacksmith. The question is he getting paid for the project, or is he getting paid per every nail that he knocks in, or per every whatever? So the point is that was Rav Sheshes Shaila. Kablonis, is there an Isser, not an Isser, is there, yes, an Isser if you don't pay in a timely fashion to be Baal Tolan or not? V'yom Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes says, oive, yo, taka yoive, just like a sachir, same thing with God, be a kablon. So you might leave with Rav Sheshes, please, Rav Asi, l'chayra, according to the Havamina, that we weren't talking about that he was rented him for every clap that he gave to the coat, but rather for the entire project, fix up the coat should be nice and fluffy and geschmack and soft once again. And for that, he was going to pay him a full $20 for doing that whole project. So Rav Sheshes said, if you don't pay you on the spot or within that time period, you're going to be over Baal Tolan. Why? According to Rav Asi, it's not a case of schiris or kablonis, it's a case of shutfus. As shutf, there's no din of Le Baal Tolan. So l'chayr is a machlik Rav Sheshes and Rav Asi. No, you have no raya. It could be that Rav Sheshes and Rav Asi, when Rav Sheshes talked about kablonis, or not, he was talking about a case of a mailman. Besides the mailman, I have a letter that I desperately need to get today to Muncie. And so I go and call over the car service and I say, can you deliver this letter to Muncie? Sure, I'll be delighted. How much is it going to cost? $25. When will it be there? By Mitchum before noon. Okay, no problem. It's $25. Take it. And he delivers the letter. He did a great job and everything is wonderful. So now he took upon himself kablonis. This wasn't schiris. He didn't say, well, it depends if there's going to be a lot of traffic, if it's going to take me 2 hours, it's going to take me 3 hours, how much toll and how much. Blah, blah, blah. My project is I'm going to deliver the letter. And he delivered the letter. So he's a kablon. He's not a sochir. But in this case, there's no shvacha. He didn't improve on the letter. In fact, if he does anything with the letter, the guy's going to be angry. Just deliver the letter. Don't add a ribbon to it, and don't go and add postage, and don't take, you just deliver it. And that's what he did. So therefore there is no machloik in a case like this, where the umen koinu b'shvach kli, because there is no shvach kli. It was a kablonus, but it wasn't the shvach kli. He didn't create a box. He didn't go and make a sweater. He didn't go and soften the fibers of a cloak, or whatever. So if we have no raya, then in fact that there's a machloikis between Rav Sheshes and Rav Asi. Let's say that this halacha of Rav Asi, that umen koinu b'shvach kli, is a machloikis tanoim. And now we're going to have yet another halachic ramification from this perspective, from this halacha that Rav Asi says. What is that? You have a young lady. Our good friend Ariel was before talking about Shiduchim and a Shadchan. You have a young lady.
She chilled out.
Right, we will soon find out. Anyway, she goes over to a young man who is in the jewelry business and he manufactures jewelry. And the young lady says to the man, do me a favor, Aseli Shirim Nizam of the boys. Here, I give you a bar of silver, a bar of gold. Take it, please, and fashion out of it different types of jewelry. Vakarishloch. And if you do a good job and you give it back to me, we'll be mikudeshes. We will be married. Ooh, that's a major incentive. The Kaddish Law says the Tanakamer the Meir Kimichason. As soon as he finished making the Shirim Nizomet to boys, make Kudashas. She's married. Mazel Tov. Divrei Meir. One second would be just wait. The Chachamim Oimrim Ain Mekudashas Sheyagia Mom Liyada. It's not Mekudashas until the mom mind the money reaches into her hand. That's the end of the Brisa. Now we have to understand what the details are. What does it mean, mamain? My mamain. Ilema oise mamain. Do we mean the original shidim nizamet tabois until they reach the hand? Then they'll be mekudeshes. Mechval, and you tell me, kunt remeyer sever, oise mamain loy, that even before she receives the shidim nizamet tabois, she'll be mekudeshes. That doesn't make any sense. She didn't get anything. You could not learn pshat in this brisa that a mayor says that as soon as he's finished and he's done, he calls her up and says, Shprinza, good news, we're done. I finished it. Okay, mazel tov mekudeshes. That doesn't make any sense. He has to give it to her. So he bazois to the Rabbanan also say it's not a kiddushin until he gives it to her. So what's pshat? My Makadosh couldn't to mayor. Just by saying I finished it, that doesn't do the trick. How is he Makadosh? El pshita my mamain acher. Oh, it must be that Ramey is talking about that he taka gave her back. Shprinza, here are the shirim nizam and tabois. I hear that put them into your hand. Hariat mekudeshesli b'taba azu kedas moish v'yisrael mazel tov, and it works. And the chum say no. You can give back all the shirim nizam and tabois. You still got to put down a pruta of money and be mekadesher with that money. So what's the machlokes? So the Gemara immediately pushes away, rejects other potential explanations, which we're going to review a little bit further down. V'sivrua, and we assumed initially, that when you're talking about schiras, it goes from beginning to end. If you go mekadesh with a milva, a pre-existing loan, not mekudesh. How is that? What does it have to do with our cases? We'll see shortly. But my love, shouldn't we say, and therefore, when the uman is handing back the shirim nizam to boys, he's essentially telling the young lady, Sprinza, you own 10% of this because you supplied the silver or the gold to manufacture it, but I own the other 90%, because look, I took your simple piece of silver and I made it into such a beautiful ring, which I'm now putting on your finger, and I own 80% of that ring, because the ring previously, the piece of silver, was worth $10. Now, as a result of my labors and my fashioning and my manufacturing, it is now worth $50. So therefore, 80% belongs to me. Only 20% belongs to you. I'm now handing over to you my 80% shutfus in this ring. And there is my kadisha. And that's why Ramey says it works. While the Rabbanan say, come on, he's just a worker. He didn't, come on. I don't believe in this. And therefore, you can give back all the shirim, all the nizam, all the tabois. No kiddushin until you give a peruta, give a quarter, give a dollar, give another tabas. But this ain't kodem shvachli. So that's machlokes. Rabbanan sabi ain't mishvachli. So it's more like the kuli alma ain't mishvachli. Could be that everybody rejects Rav Asi. Nobody holds that you become a shutiv. El hocha biyish yeshna leschiris metchil vatzoyf kemifagi. What the Gemara initially rejected. Now, what does this mean? Yesh l'schir b'tchil v'atzoif. So this is a machlokes that goes throughout Chas. You find it in a number of places. That do you say yesh l'schir b'tchil v'atzoif or ein l'schiris el l'besoif? What does that mean? If you hire someone to do something for you, and he puts in a day's work, a week's work, now ultimately at the end of the work, when the work is all finished, you have to go and give that person l'mashal $25 because that's what you made up when he's going to be done with the job. Now, when does that $25 debt, when is it triggered? When does it begin? Does it begin after everything is finished? In other words, when I do that final stroke, if I'm manufacturing the box, I put in that final nail, oh, now the $25 is chal. It wasn't chal until now. It wasn't the finished product. When I did the tzemer, when the dye now has had a chance to settle and to dry up, oh, now it's finished. I called you up. It's done. Or in the case of the guard at the tavolo, or the case of the mailman, what does the 25 do? Only at that final moment when we're done. So in l'schiris ela libesoif. Or do you say no? There's an accrual of the $25. If it took, for instance, 5 days to go and manufacture the box, by the end of day one, you owe me $5. By the end of day two, $10 or $50. Of course, you don't have to pay me yet because we made up in advance that you only pay me at the end. However, there's been accrual every single, not only every single day, and not every single hour, every single second that the person is working on it. And therefore, there, in this $25, there may be 10,000 multiple chotzi prutas, or 10% of a pruta, or a hundredth of a pruta, whatever the calculations are. And therefore, each time I keep on putting time and effort into making this box l'moshel, you owe me another penny, and another half a penny, and another 12 pennies. But you don't have to pay me yet. You only have to pay me at the end. Oh, what that means is that when you finally pay me at the end, you're paying me not for money that's due at the end, but money that was accruing throughout, which you didn't have to pay because I lent the money to you. I gave you an advance and say, you don't have to pay every step of the way. You just wait until the end. So that's the Gemara refers to as a halvo, as a loan. If you want, you can think of it as 100 loans. Each time there was another penny put in, another loan, another loan, another loan. And we have a rule that about being Mekadosh B'milva. So that's the next Gemara. You know when you owe your schiris? At the final moment. So when he comes back and tells her, I have good news for you, the shirin, nizamin, and tabois are all finally done. Boom. At this moment, she owes him now the $25. He says to her, good news. You don't have to pay me the $25. Hariat mekudeshesli, with that $25 that you owe, it's not a pre-existing loan. It's now on the spot. He says, you owe me 25, and I am moich you on the 25. Hariat mekudeshesli, and they're married according to Remeir. Rabbanan Savi, no, yesh v'schir mitchil v'atzoiv, that there's been schiris all along from the very beginning until now. And therefore, since yesh l'schiris mitchil v'atzoiv, he's being mekadesher with 100 milvis, 100 small loans. Ain't mekadeshin memilva. And that's the reason why it doesn't work, unless he gives her another piece of paper, another dollar.
When he does it for the mayor,
yes.
So isn't it also a loan in a certain sense?
Not a loan, because when she arrives on the scene, he says to her, here's the invoice for 25, but I'm tearing the invoice up right now. You don't have to pay me a penny. Hurry up, mekudeshesli.
Is it a loan? I mean, in a certain sense,
for certain reasons. The rabbanon see it.
Look,
no, but they hold a different
look at the last Rashi. The last Rashi on the Amid, the last two lines. Ain l'schiris el l'besoyt. L'schiris is only due at the final moment. Kimahada lehu nirlo, when he returns to her, the shirim, the zomim, and the tabois. Now you owe me for the first moment. If you pay me on the spot, there was never a loan. If she says, I'll come back in 10 minutes, and I'll be alone for 10 minutes. But if she pays him as soon as he says, it's worth 25, okay. Hariyat mekudesh, see for that 25. A lady, they are mekudeshes. But it says, no, yesh l'schir mitchil v'atzoiv. There are a whole bunch of loans in mekachim and milva. V'boi yisayim another pshat. T'kul yam yesh l'schir v'atzoiv. Everybody holds that schiris does accrue minute by minute, second by second. V'och mekachim and milva can mefugi. The machloik is, can you mekachim and milva? T'rmei yisayim mekachim and milva mekudesh. Yes, it works. So even though these 100 mini loans, fine. I'm mekadesh with these loans. Rabbanan Savi mekadesh ain't even kadesh. That's why it doesn't work. So that's another pshat. Or says the Rav Amar the Kuli Alma Yash Lutzchiz Mitchil Vatzoyf. So therefore it's a loan. Or the Kuli Alma mekadesh milva ain't even kadesh. So how does Ramei say it works? Or the Kuli Alma ain't umen koyin bishvach kli. So he's not giving her his piece of the partnership. So how does it work? According to Ramei, Hachamai Skin Kin Koyishah Hoyisef Lo Noyfech Mishaloi. When she asked that you should go and make for me, for instance, a ring of tabas, instead of just making the tabas a nice round tabas, he went and added a noifach. He went and added maybe a small jewel. Yes, it's true. Today we don't go and not mekadesh with a diamond, or only mekadesh with a plain piece of silver, a plain piece of gold, because otherwise it'll be shaylus. But we're not talking about those shaylus now. We're talking about the added, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because she doesn't know the value and she won't be
able exactly to right, it. Exactly right. But he was talking about not under today's normal practices. We're just saying he gave her, we don't have to be talking about that tabas on the finger. After all, she ordered shirim, nizamim. Nizam is usually a nose ring.
Right.
A shir would be a bracelet or something, or some other type of jewelry. So although she asked for this bracelet, lamushal, to be a nice, just plain bracelet, he added to it some semi-precious stones. Very nice of him. Oh, since he was Moisef, that's what he's now being Makadisha with. So Rameyasavar Milva Upruta Daita Apruta. Even if you hold a Makadish Bemilva, ain't a Mekodeshes, what happens if the Chusin says to the Kala, you know, you owe me $100 a Milva, I'm Moichel a Milva. Yeah, Makadish Milva, ain't a Mekodeshes. I'm adding now an extra dollar. Here's the Milva and extra dollar, I'm Mekadish you with both. Daita Apruta. In the Kedushin process, she is being soimechtas, not only on the milva, or perhaps not on the milva.
She's not getting the milva now, she's getting the forgiveness of the milva.
Exactly. But she is getting real hard cash in the form of the pruta. So then, says Rameyer, same thing by the Shir Nizamim, that if he added a noifach, he added an extra semi-precious stone to it, so she's not only looking to, or she's not looking to the original order that she gave, because that's what she wanted. Oh, you added something. You're so nice. I've never found such a nice guy like you. Mekudeshes. Ravana Sari, Milva, Pruta, Daita, Milva. After all, this is a Pruta, this is a nickel. But this is a Milva of $100. She's so happy that he was Moichel the Milva. So the Pruta, okay, the Pruta is kind of a throw-in. You know, thank you very much, Koyach. But the Iker is a Milva. Milva ain't a Mekudeshes, and that's why it doesn't work. Uva, look to the Ani Tanoi, we had a virtually similar situation. The sign you learned in the Brisa. Mischasha sisi imcha ain mikudeshes. Mischasha es imcha mikudeshes. Now this doesn't have to be Dafka talking about in the jewelry situation, but it can. That he did work for her already, and the work is all over. And now for the first time, remember in the case that we had until now, she handed over the silver and she said to the Uman, Mr. Uman, I'm handing over the silver or the gold to you, and please make for me aseli shirim nizamit tabois v'akadosh loch. If you return them to me in a nice, beautiful tabas, a nice ring, etc., I'll be mikudash. Here we're talking about that he did the work for her, and now she comes to get her goods, let's say the jewelry, and if he says to her, b'schar sisi imcha, for the schar that I worked for you already, I moichel that, be mikudash, ain't mikudash. That doesn't work. Why? Because that is certainly a loan, since they didn't make up at the outset. And Rashi throws in that aimless chiris al besoif. We'll talk more about that in a moment. So he says to look on the third and fourth line of Rashi. B'scharsha sisi imcha, all the works that I did for you previously, hiskadishli, and mikdashes hoyul ukvar hechziru la. It's talking about that he already gave her back the goods this morning or yesterday. And now, Behu Milva Gabon, there's an existing Milva. So he calls her and says, you know what? Instead of my pestering you for paying your bill, I moichel the bill almanas mikudeshes. No, that doesn't work because it's imikachim Milva. What about Bishacha as the imcha, the schar that I'm going to do work for you? He makes up with her, he took the silver and he says, you know, instead of paying me $25 for the work, the schar that I'm going to work for you, I want you to go and be mikudesh. You mask him mikudeshes. Reb Nosson Oymer, b'schar es imcha ainu mikudeshes. When he says to her, b'schar that I'm going to work for you, except that for kesef kedushin, doesn't work. The kolshkin, and certainly in the case of chashu esi imcha, the schar that I already did for you, it certainly is not going to work. Reb Yudah Nosi Oymer, b'emes amro bein b'schar shesisi imcha bein b'schar shes imcha. That's really black letter law. However, if he added an added benefit, an added semi-precious stone or something, then mikudeshes. Then it would work. So we have three mandiyamim. We have the Tanakhama that distinguishes between b'schar she'osisi, b'schar she'e'ese. I have a Nosson that says both e'ese and osisi doesn't work. And a Yudah Nosi says itaka don't work, but if you're moisef noifach, then it works. So Akhtimara, so what's the machloikis between these three mandiyam? Beitanakam Reb Nosson Ikbinayu Schiros. Oh, very simple. Do you say, Yeshno Leschiros Metchilim Vaatsoif? Or do you say, Ein Leschiros El Lebesoif? So the first mandiyam that says, Bischar Shosisi Imcha Ein Mekodeshes, because that's a pre-existing loan. You already got the goods yesterday, you didn't pay me yet. I'm Moichel, be Mekodeshes. It's a loan, Ein Mekachem Emilva. Bischar Shosisi Imcha, that I'm going to work for you, ein l'schiris ela l'besoif, and therefore, when will the money be due? When you come to pick up the goods? At that moment, instead of invoicing you for the $25, hurry at mikudeshesli. Since ein l'schiris ela l'besoif, there was no ongoing accrual of loans, and therefore mikudeshes. Reb Nosson said, nah, Yeshna l'schiris metchila v'atzoi, from beginning to end. And therefore, when he's moichel her at the end and says, you don't have to pay me my invoice, be mekodeshes to me. Sorry. Schashe esa imcha. There were 100 mini loans each time, a half a pruta, pruta, throughout this process from beginning and to end. And therefore, even though it hasn't taken place yet, but by the time that you finish all the work, my friend, it will be the payment that I will owe you are for these 100 loans. No, I'm kaddish milvein mekadesh. And surely the chashas isimcha, the chavad and nevada, that's a pre-existing loan. Nothing to talk about. So that's the machloekis between Tanakamer Reb Nosson, Kabi Schiris. What's the machloekis between Reb Nosson and Reb Yehuda Nosi? Reb Yehuda Nosi agrees to Reb Nosson that yeshna leschiris metchila vaad soif, and therefore it's all a loan, loan, loan. However, says Reb Yehuda Nosi, kibinayim milvu pruta, if in addition to the amount that they agreed in advance, that if in addition to that he gave her a noifa mishaloi, which was unnecessary, that noifa was another free tidbit of a dollar. So the milva was $25. The pruta was a dollar. Says Reb Nosson, the maisa, what she's looking at is the mechila of the $25. That was the big financial strain for her. Says Reb Yehuda Nosi, no. That's, she didn't get cash in hand. She just got a waiver of a loan. She's really looking at the noifach, the extra tidbit that he threw in. That's the pruta. Daita pruta, and that's why it's mikadashes. Okay, so we finish now with this whole concept of Rav Asi, that umen koine b'shvachli, and all of the various ramifications and machlekes. Now we go on to something else. Omer Shmuel, tabach umen shekilkel chayiv l'shalom. If a person brings his animal to the tabach, we think of a tabach as being a butcher, but in the times of Chazal, tabach also included the shoichet. Maybe the shoichet and the butcher was hainu hach, he did both things. So I brought my shepsela to the tabach, to the shoichet, who was an uman, who was an experienced shoichet, and I asked him, please go and shecht it for me and give it back. Unfortunately, kilkel. How is it kilkel? The Gemara doesn't go into any discussion. It could be one of the five different types of things that you have in the beginning of Masechtas Chulin that he messed up Nebuchadnezzar. The Musha, they found there was a pegima in the sakin. Pegima. Anyway, Nevela. Shoich. So what happens now? Chayv l'shalom. Then of course the shoichet has to go and pay him. Till now he had a wonderful shepsel worth $100, and now it's a shtik nevela. It's only worth $20. He's got to pay him the $80 that he was mekalka. And Shmuel uses some very, very tough language. Maziku, poishayahu, nasika oimoloi, shchoit li mikan, ushchochit fishochet li mikan. So Shmuel is very critical of this shoichet, and he says this shoichet is a mazik, because this was a live animal, and now Nebuchadnezzar had a dead nevela, dead carcass, which is you can only use for the klovim or for goyim. He's a poisheo, he was negligent. And it's not as if the owner would say, please go and shecht over here by the halts. By the halts means by the neck. And instead of shechle mikan, he went and he shechted by the feet, or by the tail. So of course you can see that Shmuel is being critical. And we'll see that that will have a critical say in the next Shikul Gemara. Frank Gemara, why don't you just simply say maziku? Fine, that's what he has to go and pay. As if he shechted from the feet, from the tail. I'll tell you why, says Gemara. If he would only say maziku, have a mina hani mili heichadeka ovid bischar. Maybe that's only if he agreed to pay the shoichet for going shechting the animal. I'm going to pay you $5 for the shechita, and Nebuch he loused up. Ah, he's a maziku. Aval heichadeka ovid bechinam. In the case where he asked him as a toiva, oh, shoichet, I know you do such a great job. Do me a favor. Here's my animal. Please shecht it and give it back to me, and I'll take care of the medikis, and I'll take care of the zaltzin, and I'll take care of the odevar. All I'm asking you is just please go and shecht.
Use the chalif.
Exactly. Use the chalif. I would think maybe loy, that he's off the hook because he's, in a sense, like, we don't mean a shoimer, but like a shoimer chinam, that he didn't take upon himself anything other than going and shechting, and so therefore maybe he returns it. I'm sorry, I feel bad, but maybe it'd be potter. Kamashal, that's why he says poshehu, just like a shemachinam is chay v'pshia, is potter v'gneva veda, oy nevad, but pshia, you weren't careful, you should have checked your chalav better, and you should have made sure not to put pressure, etc., so you're a poshea. So that's the kavona by saying maziku poshehu, that not only do you nail him that he has to go and pay if he was to receive a wage for the shechita, even if it was bechinam, he has to go and pay. Eis Rav Chama Bar Guya Shmuel. Freit Rav Chama Bar Guya. Hanoisim behema tabach. What happens if you give a behema to the tabach to the sheichet? V'nibla. Oh, our case, it became an avail. Uman potter. If he's an uman, meaning he's an experienced sheichet, he's potter. Oh, not like Shmuel. Shmuel said he's chayav. We're going to see in a moment. Hedjot, if he happens to be a beginner, an amateur, right? He's just learning shechita and he messed up. What do you expect? It's the first time, the second time. So then he's chayav. Then because he's not an uman and he blew it, he's got to pay. V'im noisin schar. If however I'm paying money, then hedjot uman is chayav. Then everybody's chayav inside the hedjot inside the uman. So therefore, this brisa that Rav Chama Bar Guri is bringing to Shmuel has a distinction between whether I'm asking for a favor or I'm paying. If I'm paying for the shechita, $5 per shechita, then he allows up, then you chayv to go and pay. That is, the uman is chayv to go and pay for messing up in the shechita. However, he was doing him a favor, and unfortunately he allows up in the favor, nothing ventured, nothing lost, now for the owner he did lose, but as far as the tabach is concerned, you weren't going to pay me anyway. Unfortunately, I feel bad of chatosi visi pashati, but he is part, he doesn't have to go and pay. But that's not what Shmuel said. Shmuel was screaming, Mazeko Pesheyahu, it's as if he shechted from the feast and from the house, etc. As we freight of Chama Guria to Shmuel. Now Shmuel unexpectedly, Omale, the Acher Moichacha. Now the different pshatim what that means. Moich, of course, means the brain, the skull. The Acher, there's one way of learning that he's chas v'shalom giving him a shtickle curse, and he's saying to him, kid, or my Talmud, Rav Chama Bar Guria, you're not listening to what I'm saying. And therefore, you're coming to just cause trouble. Therefore, your moyach should be full of mayim achurim. Remember, we had yesterday tzlulim and achurim.
Right. Achurim means to drop the coin in the
Yamagodim. Exactly. So he didn't drop it, he pushed it up. Yeah, you remember the Gemara. Good. Exactly. So now, the achur moyach, your moyach should become murky like that, the Yamagodim. So that's the negative way of teaching. The Shittim and Kvetzis has another pshat that not chas v'shalom that your moyach should become mu'ucher, but he's saying that your moyach is already mu'ucher, that your head already is cloudy and murky. You're not asking a good kasha.
He's asking him, he's quoting a brisa.
100%, we're not done. I remember when I was in yeshiva many, many years ago, we had a Rebbe, and the Rebbe was back from the Haim, and he was a little bit, he went through the war and the Holocaust, he probably lost Nebuchadnezzar, whatever. He had Nebuchadnezzar, a difficult background. So he didn't tolerate Narish Akashas. So there was a Bucher in class one day that asked a Kasha, asked the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was a little annoyed. He says, "Oi, you know who asked that Kasha? The Rush asked the Kasha." So the boy felt, "Oh, the Rush asked, oh, he felt so good." But I don't mean the Rush in back of the Gemara. Dan Narish Rush, your silly head, you're the one that asked that Kasha. Of course, the boy was not happy. I'm not defending the actions of the Rebbe. I'm just telling you the Maaseh Shehayah. So the point is, what our Gemara is saying, that Shmuel also said to Rav Chama Bar Guria, hey, your mind is not thinking clearly. Now, why not?
I had a Rebbe in Skokie. He would say that Chash Barosho. Someone to learn Torah.
Right.
To learn Torah, you find you don't have a head.
That's what he said. Yeah. Okay, he must have been a cousin or a brother of my Rebbe. Anyway, he was a very pleasant man, a very nice person, but sometimes he got a little tits. So getting back to Agamar. So the Gemara says, Acher Moichacha. Also, Humei Rabbanon, Kamoisivlei. Another one of the Talmidim came to Shmuel, and he asked him, he posed the following question. Amalei, Hashishaklis, so he asked him the same kasha from the same Braisa. Amalei, Hashishaklis, Maideshokel Chavercha. You are asking the same thing that your chaver asked, and you deserve to go and get the same reward. Response and the same reward that your chaver got. However, since both of you have asked it, come recently, Rabban, it's very, very simple. I, Shmuel, paskin like Reb Meir, and you bring me a brisa, which is a Rabbanon. According to Reb Meir, you're going to be chayv both bechinam and bischar, and this price has nothing to do with me, because this price is a Rabbanon that disagree with Reb Meir. Amayli dankis mili. Why didn't you go and listen carefully at the shir? Remember, I didn't just simply say, Maziku. I said, Maziku. Pesheyahu. It's as if he did from the front, from the back. Shani oime shani. Maile daikis mili shani oime. That I said in the shir. Maziku, Pesheyahu. Naska oime le shchoitli mikan, shchoitli mikan. Why did I use all of those terms. Man isli hay svara. Who holds of that svara that the person even bechinam is a poishea? That's Remeir. The Omar mi boilin lemeir me'anafshi. The person should be more careful. However, that brisa that you cited that distinguishes between bechinam and bischar, that's the Rabbanon. I pask like a mayor. And that's why he got angry the first Talmud, and that's why he's giving the second Talmud also over the head and saying, both of you guys, if you'd listen carefully to me, you'd understand why normally I... What does the Gemara say? You're supposed to be makatzer when you're learning with your Talmud. You're supposed to learn b'derech ketzara. Why did I go and be marbid dvorim, that he's a mazik metapusheya, and it's as if he shechted from the tail as opposed to from the neck? Because I wanted to tell you, like a mayor, that person has to be careful. Lemir mi anafshei. Hi, Remeir. Which Remeir is this? So we have in the parentheses a simon, kalan simon, that kuf lam and nun means that we're going to quote three Remeirs. The first one starts off that nan koshru ba'olav, you see, with a kuf. Second one, two lines later, litzbay le odoy is with a lamid. Two lines later, nishbra kadi is with a nun. That's the kalan. Did not. We learned in the Mishnah. The first two we're going to bring as rayas, but the Gemara is going to be doche, and then we're going to rely on the third one to establish that a mayor holds mi boyu leila mir mi anafshe. A person has to be very, very careful. So the first case is that now we had this earlier on in our Masechta Kasha Bala b'Maseira. What happens if you tie down the animal with a Maseira with a proper leash and all the rest? V'no b'fan of kiroi, or you close the door in front of him properly. V'yotzva hizik, and nevertheless the animal went out and was masik. And you remember the Gemara over there said that this is not considered to be a Shmira Ma'ula, it's considered to be a Shmira Pchusa. According to Remeir, Beitam Beimur, Chayiv, Divir Remeir, Remeir holds Yechayiv. If you remember, Rabbi Yehuda says, by a tam Yechayiv, by a Mu'ud, you're potter. Yeah. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say, a Mu'ud should be potter? After all, it's like Ben Hapachu. Tam, you're telling me, it has to have a Shmira Ma'ula, and when it comes to the Mu'ud, only has to be Shmira Pchusa. And the Gemara says it's based on Psukim because it says, you have to go and make anyway a Shmira. Why does the Pasuk repeat again? You have to make a Shmira. We had a Gansa Maisa according to Rabbi Yehuda. There was yet a third Mandi Yama that said that the only way any Shmira is, it's got to be Besakin. You got to go and Shechta because. Anyway, what do we see from Remeir? Remeir rejected that. And Remeir says that even by a mu'ad, you need a shmira ma'ula, not just a shmira b'chusa. So we see that Remeir has higher standards in terms of the shmira. Maybe that's what Shmuel is referring to. So the Mar Nishkaraya. Hasa mikroi pli. That's because they're arguing, how do you learn the shmirana ba'olav? What would you have said before? What you said later? Is it a ribayach riboy? Not a ribayach riboy. So the machloek is within psukim, but you can't bring a rai from that that a mayor holds consistently throughout Shas, that a person has to be super, super careful. Riboy le lemir me'anafshe. Elohore mayor. Fine. For the next one, did not, which we've learned in the last few days. Letzvoy le odom, letzvoy shachar. Shachar, letzvoy odom. He ordered him to make it red, and he made it black. Black, he made it red. The mayor, oimenuiseloid meitzamri. He has to pay the meitzamri. Like we talked about at the beginning of the Shir, why didn't say to me, Tzamrayu, Samanov, and all the rest. Anyway, so what do I see from this? That Remeir says, even though he did a perfect job, he made this previously white wool into red or into black, but that's not what I ordered. I wanted black, I didn't want red, I wanted red, I wanted black. I look at this and I turn red when I see this
black wool.
This black wool, thank you. Says the Gemara, Ultanishkaraya. Because that doesn't show that the person was negligent. He with his own red hands, he went and took it, and he made it black, or he made it red. So from there, it's also not a good ride. We're trying to go and show the person has to be super careful. The final remained. We have this beginning of the Masechta. Person was walking down in Rosh Hashanah, and Nebuch the Kad broke, or the Gomo fell down. But exactly, and he didn't pick it up, but he didn't remove this bor b'shus rabim. May oimer chayim in iskan. B'chom oimer potter b'din anu b'chayim b'din ishamayim. What is the machlek? Is a chayim lan b'niskan p'sheyahu pligi. And niskan means a person who trips. Do you say, people trip all the time. Do you say you should watch a recording? What are you going to say? It's only natural. At once in every 5 years, when a person is walking down the street, he didn't watch himself carefully. He's looking at his iPad. He's looking at it, and he tripped. Sure, he's a pesheya. Do you say he's an one? So you see the pesheya. So that's the machloikas here between the Tanakama and the man. According to Tanakama, why do I say that he's potur? It's not Tanakama. Why the Chum Oymen say Potter Bedini Adam? He's an honest. Okay, he's an honest. Fine, you know, people trip. These things happen. So since he tripped, then the card fell down and broke, and the Gomo fell down, and Limida, Choy, says Rameir, Mr., you gotta watch where you're going. Since you didn't watch your Pesheh, you're negligent. And therefore, if the card broke, and somebody fell over the pieces, or the Gomo fell down, and you didn't go check, oh, you're Chay. Says Shmuel, I hold like a mayor, a person has to be super careful. And if he's not careful, he's a Pesheya. Oh, that's why he said before, didn't you, were you listening carefully? Please, Shecht, if you're not going to do a good job, Maziku, Pesheyahu. Oh, those are the words of Ramey, he's a Pesheya. That's the reason why, Saibe Chinam and Saibe Schar, you got to pay. Rav Choma Bar Guyas Bryson that said there's a difference between Bechinam or Beschar. That's according to Rabbanon, not according to Ramey, and that's why Shmuel got a little bit tzitzit, a little bit upset. Okay, so continuing on talking about shochtim that do a poor job, tabach uman shekilko, if you have an uman that was makalki, did a bad job, afilu uman ketavchi tzipori, even if he happens to be like one of the famous tabochim that shecht in tzipori, tzipori was a larger city apparently than many of these shteklach, so probably these tabochim had tons of experience. Even if he happens to be one of the most experienced, shocht him around. What's the din? If he was makalkal, his chayov. There was a story in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Beknishta de Moin, in the base of Knesset of Moin, of a place called Moin, and they told him, Nebuch, something happened over here, and the shoychet messed up. He said, Zil Aisi Raya, to Mamcha Satana Goylem, bring a Raya that he knows how to go and shecht a Tarnagol, and everybody knows shechting an oif is nothing compared to shechting a big behema. It's a gunisht. Fifterach, and if you can show me, bring me evidence, he's a good shoychet for oifois, he's potter. Wow. In one case, Rabbi Yochanan said, even if you have tafchid tzibori, one of the most experienced tavachim in the world, if he's a makalkal, he's chayiv. And here Rabbi Yochanan says, even if he has just a little bit of experience, he knows how to do oifes, he's potter. It's the chasir. So to the kasha, kam b'chinam, kam b'schar, it depends. Like we said before, ki hodem Reb Zeira, haroitzish, he is chayiv le'tabach. If you want to make sure that tabach is on the hook, if he makes a mistake, yachtam le'dinah, pay him in advance. Say, here tabach, here. I pay you $5 for your labors, and now if the tabach messes up, then you know you're going to go, it's a money-back guarantee, you're going to go and get back the full value of your animal. However, he doesn't pay him. And then and you come to the shoych and say, no, what happened to my animal? I have good news and bad news. The good news, I did the job. The bad news is that Nebuch is in avail now. You don't have to pay me a penny. I wasn't going to charge you anyway. We're good friends from years ago. So then he doesn't have to pay for anything. That's why he's saying, pay him in advance. You know, for sure, he's on the hook.
But he doesn't become Tamei from the...
Shkita Sazui Terasa.
Okay.
He has a benefit.
Not much of a benefit, but anyway. Meitzvei, Frank Timar, Hamoy lechitim litochin, not litochin, litochin. Tochin is the individual who's going to do the grinding. So you bring the chitim to the miller, to the grinder. V'loy lissasan, now what does a grinder do when you give him chitim? The first thing he does to be able to go and make it nice, pure flour, he's loisis. Loisis means that you put it into warm water and you let it sit for a while until the chaff comes off and all the impurities come off, and then you dry it up, and then you go and grind it. So you have to do this lissisa. So what happens if the toichen or the tochoin made a mistake? He forgot. He didn't do lissisa. Vason tzubin, instead of making nice AAA grade flour, soilus, it's never full of subin, full of bran, full of impurities. Oy morsin. Subin and morsin are basically the same. Rashi says one is a little bit worse than the other. Anyway, that was case number one. Or, he gave kemach lenachton. He brought flour to the baker and says, please, go make for me a nice challah kuvet Shabbos. But the nachton somehow messed up. Vasoi pasni boilim. He taka baked it into a pas, but as soon as you pick up the pas, it falls into 100 pieces. It falls, and therefore that's, I can't use it for Shabbos. I have to have lech mishnah, a sholem, and Nebuch falls to pieces. Nebuch. That's why it's called the spoiling, it's in the fila that it's falling to pieces. Or he gives a bengle tabach. Oh, our case. Vinibla, he made an avela. Chayiv. Why is he chayiv? Neshuhu ken noise socher. Now it doesn't say he is a noise, it says ken noise socher. It's a mashma that even if he's doing it b'chinom, he has the same status like a noisi socher, and he's chayiv. We just said a moment ago, according to Rabbi Bruchana, that, or according to Yochanan, Reb Zeira, the only time you're chayiv is if you paid the guy, but if it was bechinam, you're potter. And here apparently it's talking about bechinam because it's kinois the socher. Everything more eman, don't say kinois the socher. You know why he's chayiv? Because he's getting a wage, he's getting paid for shechting the animal. If he messed up and he didn't do a good job, then he has to go and pay because he's a noise. If you do bechinam, you would be off the hook. Next case. Ahu magrumta dasoi lekame dirav. What's a magrumta? Rashi tells us miyachim mesechta school, and we're going to learn one of the things that causes an animal shchita to be imperfect and to make the animal tenevela is something called hagroma. Now, what is hagroma? So Rashi says it depends on where you shecht.
In outside the zone.
Exactly. There's a zone. The zone has a bunch of tabois. Tabois means the vertebrae of the spine of the animal. If you do it too high, you do it too low. But it's not really on the spine. It's really in the throat. It's one of the corner of the veshet. So that's called hagroma. Anyway, so unfortunately, the shoycha did a bad job, and it was a magrumta. In other words, it was an avela that was caused as a result of shechting too high in the zone or too low in the zone or whatever. So it's called hagroma. So the soil came from the Rav. He came from the Rav. Rav Paskin, is this kosher? Is it not kosher? So this specific case of hagroma, Rashi says it would be tin tabas the tabas, and is a machlokin between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan, when this case is considered to be still within the kosher zone or beyond the kosher zone, a machlokin. Anyway, what did Rav do? First of all, Rav said tarfe. Unfortunately, the shoycha did a bad job. It's trey. Actually, he means it's an avela. You can't eat it. Upatru the tabach mishlume domi, and the tabach is parted from having to go and paying you. It was a double psak. Number one, legabi hilchos orachaim, is this kosher or not? Unfortunately, it's not kosher. And legabi hilchos chayshem mishpat, does he owe you any money? Part. Fine. That's the end of the first part of the story. Now, pogubeir of kana ravasi, this fellow who owned this magrumta, this animal that had the agroma, he's walking down the street, he meets Ravkana Ravasi, Bahugav, and that person, and apparently he told them this story, Homrulay, and they told him, Avid Bach Rav Tarti. What Rav has done to you is a double whammy. Two things. I don't know, Frank Timora. My Tarti, what do you mean by two things? Elaim Matarti Ligreyas, so do they mean to be critical of Rav and saying that Rav did two bad things to you? Number one, the boy Lachshurekabyuda, he should have passed him that it's kosher. Like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Vitarfik Rabban, instead he won like Rabbanan. So that's one bad thing that Rav did to you, the Nebuchadnezzar trait. Vinami, even if you heard like Rabbanan, that's Taka trait. At least the Tabach should have paid you. So if you don't have a kosher animal, at least you get the money. And he said, no, that's all finished. So that's what they meant by saying Tarti, that you got two strikes against you from Rav. Freak the Umara. Would that be right for Rav Kahana and Rav Asi to speak about Rav in that fashion? This is talking about, of course, it didn't Torah. You have three Dayanim coming out, and then they issue the official psak, and obviously one of the two sides, one of the two litigants, is now
unhappy,
very unhappy, and his face has turned white and green and red and yellow. Okay, now as he's leaving the Bezin Shtibul, one of the Dayanim comes over to him and says to him, don't be angry at me. I want you to know I pushed for your side all along and I said you are right and I don't believe the other Edom and you are right. What can I do? The other two rabbis, you know, two against one? I was outvoted. Don't do that. Lo yoyim ani mezakav chaver mechaydim. Av ma'esav, what can I do? Shechaver robo alai. Val zenem about this, it says, hoylich rochel megale soy. Don't be like a peddler that's revealing secrets. Don't do that. So Ibazoi, why did they speak poorly? So apparently the Gemara feels that that's the same would apply to Rav Kahana Rav Asi. If they're speaking poorly about Rav, that Rav messed you up bad. Number one, that the thing is treif, and number two, you're not even getting paid by the tabak. And therefore, el title my yusa. What they meant is, both things are malice. What are the malice? Number one is li'ochloch, sofik yisura. Rav was correct. The Rabbanan are right. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is not correct. This is treif. You're lucky that you got Rav that was honest with you and told you, I'm sorry, it's treif, you can't eat it. So you didn't need a sofik yis. And number two, umenu amanach, mi sofik zeila. Had you taken money from the tabach, then chas v'sholom you'd be stealing from the tabach. Because if it was bechinam, then you shouldn't have gotten, he shouldn't pay. And the fact that he said that he's part of him paying, had you demanded payment and had the guy pay, it would be like a shikul gzeila. So you're very fortunate that you met up with Rav, and Rav gave you these two psakim. Now turning from the inyan of tabach to a moment to a shulchani. Itmar, hamara tino shulchani. You have a brand new coin, you show it to shulchani, tell me, is this worth its weight in silver, gold, whatever, is it a good coin? Finim sirah. So now, the shulchani initially tells you, yeah, this is dinner, it's fine, yeah, you can use it, it's good. If somebody's paying you for a service at this dinner, take it, it's good. And then after finim sirah, after that, he takes it to the store, he takes it to the bank, and they don't accept it. It turns out that it's ra. Tani Chada, one braiser says, potter, that the umman, if he was an umman, the shulchani, he's potter. After all, he's an expert, he made a mistake. Hedjun is chai. They're both chayiv. It's the chastira between the two brises. Why is he going danchu the iser? Danchu the iser are the names of two famous shulchanis. They have three PhDs from some of the highest schools of learning,
right,
and they know every aspect of currency of the whole world. And therefore, if they are the ones that told you that this is a good dinner, they are potter from pain, because these are the greatest experts. Afraid tomorrow, if these are the greatest experts, we might tell, then how did they make a mistake if they're the greatest experts? Everyone told, b'sichsa chadata dahishata denofik matusei sichsa. Talking about brand new coins, like we had yesterday, the day before, that the king had decided that no more the old coins are no good. From now on, we're doing brand new coins. And this was the first day of the brand new coin. And they brought it to Danko V'Yisr, or to this Uman, and he took the coin. Yeah, it looks great, it looks beautiful. But since it was brand new, he didn't realize that there's a little kvetch on the side of this and of that. In other words, in fact, it was a counterfeit new coin. But there's no way that they could know that, because they were the greatest expert. But this is the first day that you're using Hayishat and Nofim Metusi Sechsa. It just came out of the mint. So he didn't know. We have a similar story. It was a lady, the Asiya, the Achsiya Dinra Lirabchia. She showed a din to Rabchia, and apparently Rabchia was also an expert in these dinrim. Oh, Malah, and he said to her, Ma'aliyu, it's a good coin, you can accept it. Lamachar, Asoy the Kamevi, Omrele, Achzise, I took this coin and I wanted to take it to the bank, I took it to the baker. For Omrele Bishu, they told me it's not a good coin, like Kanafakli, and they wouldn't go and give me any money for it. It's Gunishvet. So Rabchia, you messed up. I accepted this as payment for something or other. It turns out that this dinner is worthless. Rav. So Rav Chiya said to his nephew Rav. Rav was, says Rashi.
Double nephew.
Yeah, that's true. But Rav says that Rashi says that he was in charge of his financial affairs. Rav Chiya was busy learning the whole day. And he said to Rav, in your off time once a week, you're going to take care of my financial affairs and you keep my records and you keep my safe and all that. So he said to Rav, Zil Chalfei Nila, take back the bad coin from her and give her a brand new coin from the safe, which we know is good. Uksoif apin kasi, and write down on the records, din asik bish, that this whole transaction was unfortunately very bad for me, because I lost my pants. Like Rashi says, because for nothing, I was doing her a favor, I looked at it, and I said, it's a good coin. It turned out there was a bad coin. And look, I lost the money as a result. So therefore, this was bechinam, and nevertheless, he said, go and pay and give her a new coin. Before we said that the two great experts, Danchav and Isser, they are potter because they don't have anything more to learn about coins. They were the world's experts. Rav Chiya didn't need to. Rav Chiya was also a world-class expert. So why did he have to go in and switch the coin for a new coin? Rav Chiya lefnimish yisr do the arm of emes, it was not required. It was only lefnimish yisr. Then, there's an Indian of doing lefnimish yisr. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Zagash.